verses 1 and 2 of chapter 11, we see the measuring rod of God. The text says, "And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. In years, what is 42 months? 3.5 years. So we are in the middle of the tribulation. It's 1,360 days. Okay? Because a lunar year to the Hebrews was 360 days. 12 months of 30 days each. So this is where we get it. Go back to Daniel, it talks about the same thing. This is talking about the exact same thing that Daniel was talking about. He's given a reed. Now, most people, the reed was, you know, a long, like a bamboo fishing pole. And it was cut to a specific length, most likely about 10 feet. Ezekiel was given a reed to measure. Most of the prophets have been told in a vision, measure these things out. What's so important about measuring? To show that they're actually real. It's not someone's figment of imagination. It's detailed information provided from God. So, what temple? It's not Solomon's temple. Destroyed. Not Zerubbabel's temple. Destroyed. Not Herod's temple. Destroyed. There is no temple right now. Okay? There's a temple that's rebuilt. Okay? And we're talking about that. And it goes through the tribulation period. And then it's rebuilt in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse from chapter 40 to 44. Talks about it. Talking about the millennium temple. Okay? But right now, there's in the tribulation period, there is a temple in Jerusalem. And one of the most interesting things is, if it's built on the Temple Mount, then in order for the Jews to have their temple in Jerusalem in the tribulation period, the Dome of the Rock needs to go. So whoever gets the Arabs to give that up and let the Jews build the temple there, that's a mighty man. That's someone that people will listen to. That's someone that people will say, it's the Messiah. It's someone that we need to follow. And they'll blindly follow him. You know, we got that problem today, folks. People blindly follow other people just because what they say sounds good. So, what temple? You look at Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 44. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week," in the middle of the week. How long is a week?
7 years.
7 days or 7 years in this case. What's the middle?
3.5 years.
Okay? In the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination. What is John told to measure? The temple and the altar, but not the outer court. Why? Because the Gentiles are there. There's nothing holy going on in there at all. Because of the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. What's the consummation? Armageddon. When Christ comes down and splits the Mount of Olives wide open. And the blood is up to the horse's bridle. And all nations march on Jerusalem. And Christ comes down and defends it. and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. We've been seeing this. So in just one verse, Daniel gives a glimpse into what John's seeing. John's told not to measure the outer court because God only wants us to measure in our lives what's holy, not what's unholy, not what looks like the world. He wants us to look at the stuff that's dedicated to Him. Folks, how much of a part of your life is holy to God? Is it a little bit or is it a lot? And here, there's not much left. There's not much left. Then these two witnesses come on the scene. Their purpose is found in verses 3 and 4. What witnesses have we had so far? We've had the 144,000, okay? And then those that we received, that refused to receive the mark of the beast, okay? But now, right before the seventh trumpet, right before the anger and wrath of God is poured out on the earth, there's two mighty witnesses. Two mighty witnesses. And it says their purpose. And I will give power unto my witnesses. You can't witness for God unless you have the power of God in your life. Talked about that over the last couple of weeks. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. 3.5 years again. Okay? Clothed in sackcloth. They may be on the scene. They're probably on the scene in the first 3.5 years. Because after they're taken out, then everything turns loose. Look at this one. Does this remind you of something that we studied before? These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. That comes from the book of Zechariah. We had the two olive trees and they poured oil in there, and they had two mighty ones standing before the Lord at that time, which was Zerubbabel and Josiah, the high priest. But they're just a figure of what's to come. John the Baptist was a figure of who? Nope. Elijah. Elijah prophesied in the end of Malachi that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and everything else, because Christ himself told his disciples. He said, they asked him a question. He said, isn't it before this happens that Elijah must first come? And Christ said, he's already come. And then if you go and read those passages, it says, and they understood that he spoke of John the Baptist. So, that's important to understand. Okay? That's important to understand here in a minute. Their powers. I love this. Boy, when God empowers you, you could do incredible things. In verses 5 and 6, and if any man will hurt them, or even try to hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be what? Killed. You don't mess with God. You don't mess with God's witnesses. You don't mess with God's judgment. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and to have powers over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as oft as they will. And everybody ask, who are they? You know something? The Bible doesn't say. Is it really important? No. Who could it be? Well, it could be Enoch and Elijah, because those are two guys that didn't die. It could be Elijah and Moses, because Elijah shut up heaven and it didn't rain. Moses called down the plagues on Egypt. Specifically, turned the waters into blood. Okay? But at the same time, it could be Moses. You know, God has His plan. And I guarantee you, God has His plan. It's going to be right. It's going to do exactly what God intends for it to do. Personally, I believe it's Enoch and Elijah. But that's beside the point. Okay? So they have mighty power. You know, they have a mighty message. That God is God and no other gods live before Him. That God brings salvation and that we need it. That God's judgment is coming and you need to ask for salvation through Christ so the judgment of you gets put on Christ. Folks, those are some mighty message that we need to preach. We're empowered by God to do this. Now, it'd be kind of interesting if we could breathe fire. Elon would like that, wouldn't he? No. But God can give you strength and power beyond you possible beliefs. But these two witnesses are called out to do specific things for God. But then, at the end of 1,360 days, they die. Okay? Their death in verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, you know, we need to work Christian all the way up to the point of our death. Or till God calls us home. There's no retirement plan. Retirement plan is eternity in heaven. That's the retirement plan. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Remember, this is one of those parentheticals. What happened in the previous chapters? That there was a sixth angel and he was given the keys to the bottomless pit. He opened it up and all the smoke came out and all these demons and locusts and things came out. Okay? Out of the bottomless pit, same place. There's only one source of evil. Satan. Shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. But it takes a supernatural being to kill a supernatural witness. And then it gets worse. In the Old Testament, you didn't leave a dead body laying around. Right now, everybody's operating under the Old Testament economy. They're sacrificing in the temple. They're set up all the worship and everything else, just like they did in the Old Testament. So these two are killed. And in verse 8, it says this. It says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. There could be no doubt where these two witnesses die. Jerusalem. That's where Jesus was crucified. You know why? Because the people didn't want to believe His witness. And the two witnesses, they didn't want to hear their witness either. And they killed Him in the same city. All that live godly will suffer persecution. Paul writes that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowships of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. They lived like Christ and they died like Christ. They had the message of Christ. Folks, this is what we should do. This is what we should do. And oh, CNN and the internet and and every news agency taking pictures and sending it across, because these two dudes have been tormenting people for 3.5 years. It is a great victory for mankind. Huh. So they think. So they're just laid out in the street. You know, the Bible talks about Christ, God will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Same thing happens here. The world's delight, verses 9 and 10. It's Christmas time. It's a happy time. We're going to rejoice because we're not under ding dong, the witches. They feel that way. It said, and they are the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. They're not all there. So we know it's media that takes it out. 3.5 days. There's significance in that. Okay? And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. See, they said, oh, those guys caused us so much torment, we're going to let them rot. We're going to let them rot out in the sun. We're going to show them who's boss. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt upon the earth. Oh, it's so bad. They called us evil. They called us sinners. They called us fornicators. They called us all these things. They said we needed God. We showed them, didn't we? Can you hear this? Can you hear in society today that just wants to attack people for even a little minor imperfection? There's going to be a heyday here. The world's delight. But then comes resurrection day. The restoration to life. Verse 11. After 3.5 days, the spirit of life from who? God. God's the only one that can give you life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's the Spirit that quickeneth from our dead works. The Spirit of life from God enter. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? You know, when a president or a U.S. official dies and you lay him in state, you can sit there and you can watch people just walk around the grave drape, the flag drape casket. And they probably have webcams and all sorts of stuff set up there looking at this saying, we win. Can you imagine the shock and awe when these two people get up? Folks, there's going to be a lot of shock and awe when God calls us home. Are you listening for him? Are you listening for him? And they stood upon their feet, and this is an understatement, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. We serve a mighty God. Amen. He says we should not be afraid. Wow. Wow. These guys were really dead to the world. But then God brought them back to life. Return to glory. Verse 12. So not only all the cameras are focused on them, And they get up other bloody bodies and he stand up. But that's just the start. That's just the start. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Amen. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld him. Don't fear what man can do to you. Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you expecting that sound, come up hither? Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must trot. So now the world is seeing the absolute power of God. Someone who's really dead, raised to life, now ascended into heaven. And you know something? It's not them. They're left behind. What are they going to do? They are going to get consumed. You know why? Because that's what Daniel prophesied. That's what God's word says. That's what the judgment that made John's belly bitter says. That was the answer to God's prayer, to all the prayers about who, when are you going to avenge us? Because now the seventh trumpet is about to sound. The results on earth, verse 13. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake. You know, when Christ rose, when Christ was crucified, there was an earthquake. Okay? When he rose, there was an earthquake. When these rise up, there's an earthquake too. The same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. They probably got the easy death. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. They didn't worship him. They just acknowledged God for who he is. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess him to the glory of the Father. Only God can do this. Try that, Satan. Try that, Antichrist. Try that, beast. You can't do that. All you can do is kill and destroy. But look at the power of God. So the results on earth. And then verses 14 through 18, the third woe is announced. Verses 14 and 15 says the woe. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. What did the mighty angel say in chapter 10? Time no longer, no more delay. And the seventh angel sounded. And look at the reaction of heaven. Why? Because that was the last trumpet. They saw the scrolls. And when the scrolls, the last scroll was revealed, it opened up the book. And now they've seen these seven angels. And when the seventh angel comes up with his trumpet, they said, it's time. It's time. That mighty angel just said that. It's time. And folks, when we see God's time coming, when we see God going to work, when we see God, what should that cause us to do? When we see God move in our lives, what should it cause us to do? Cause us to worship. And all of heaven breaks out. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we hear that in the Messiah at Christmas time. Christ is just letting Satan have his way right now. But Christ is still in control. Christ is allowing Satan to do his thing in the world. But Christ holds the deed to earth and heaven and the universe because he's God. And when Christ, as God, pours out this last bit of judgment, heaven stands in awe and cries out in worship to glorify Christ and God the Father. The worship in heaven, verses 16 and 17. All the people, all the beings that we've been introduced to now, they all have an active part in this. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks." You know, the Bible says that in everything, give thanks. "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty." Oh, and here's that phrase. "Which art and was and art to come." Same thing. "Which was and is and to come." Same thing. Who is that talking about? Christ. Chapter 1. The first vision that John had. "Because thou hast taken to who? Thee." Christ told his disciples before he ascended, "All power is given unto me under heaven and under earth." And now Christ is going to unleash it. "Take it to thy great power and has reigned." Who's going to reign in the millennial kingdom? Christ. Who's going to be in the temple? Christ. Who's going to have Jerusalem? No need for a sun because there's always light. Christ. Zechariah saw it. Ezekiel saw it. Daniel saw it. Isaiah saw it. Can you see it? And then verse 18, the seventh trumpet is going to sound. And then God's unbridled wrath comes down on earth. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. See, those in heaven, the 24 elders knew what was going to happen. The angels in heaven know what's going to happen. The saints in heaven know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. What are we doing about it? Are you ready? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Does it burn in your soul? Is your attitude, "Well, I'm covered. That's good enough for me. What about all these? Well, they were never going to accept Christ anyway." You don't make that call. But I tell you what, our indifference to witness is fulfillment of that. Folks, it's time to get busy. It's time to work for Him. Last thing, the temple's opened in heaven. Verse 19. "And the temple of God." Now in Hebrews, it says that the pattern of the tabernacle in the wilderness was like the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. It says here. So John's looking up and everybody sees. You see the men, the two men lifted up. They hear these voices from heaven. They see the 420 elders hold down. And in the middle of all of this is this. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and what? Great hail. Judgment has started. And now we'll pick that back up next week. Want to hear more?
Yeah.
Next week. Come back. Okay? Same time, same place. This is exciting stuff. But it should also be sobering stuff for us too. For all the millions and billions of people that do not know Christ. You want your friends to go through that? You want your loved ones to go through that? You want your fellow church members to go through that? You can fool man, but you can't fool God. Only you know if you have a relationship with Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask, be with this time of invitation. Lord, help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do. Help us, Lord, to be empowered from on high and to be your witnesses. Lord, we thank you for your grace that has saved us. We thank you for your mercy that's preserved us. And Lord, we just ask that you just help us, Lord, to experience your power. Lord, search our hearts. Make us right with you. Help us to follow you as your faithful servants. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.